Would invite your attention with me this morning to the book of the Acts and chapter number 3. The Acts, it is commonly referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. I somehow tweak that or somewhat tweak that and call it the Acts of the Early Church. But nonetheless, it is the book of the Acts. Immediately on the heels of the gospel, we find the Lord's gospel being perpetuated to new and foreign lands throughout the book of Acts. But there's also a great need that not only that the gospel is perpetuated throughout the uttermost parts of the earth, but even the Jews themselves needed to hear the gospel. Even those that were right there on the very day that Messiah was crucified, they too needed to hear the gospel. And so we're going to break in, and it's almost hard to know where to begin and where to stop, but we're just going to break in the narrative of what is taking place. And let's just begin with verse number 11. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name," that name that is above every name, "and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him," given to this man, "this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance," or in other words, "I know," or "I realize that through ignorance ye did it." In other words, ye crucified Christ, betrayed him, as did also your rulers. "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." And verse 22 is where we'll really take notice this morning. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Beginning with the fall of man in the garden, there has been an impassable chasm formed that separated holy God from wicked man. We quickly learn from Holy Writ that the only one who is qualified to bridge that chasm between God and man is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is, as 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says, he is the one and only mediator. And that word mediator is a wonderful New Testament word. He is the one and only go-between. And that's what that mediator means. He is the only mediator between God and man, only the Lord Jesus Christ can bridge the gap from heaven to earth, can span the vast chasm between holy God and fallen man. Only He, the Lord Jesus Christ, can rightly be known as our mediator. Now, there are different aspects to this mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has separate functions that He performed throughout His life and His ministry. I am still in, and we're going to be here for a few more weeks, a study. Really, I have just termed it a study of the life and ministry of Christ, and that's what we are in. We looked a few weeks ago at the incarnation of Christ. We looked a couple of weeks ago at the perfect righteousness, perfect life of Christ. And today we're going to begin a three-part sub-series on the threefold work of Christ. And I believe it was Calvin who is credited for clearly and concisely identifying this threefold office of Jesus the Messiah. Each role was that Christ fulfilled was all part of Him fulfilling Old Testament Scripture and part of His redemptive work in reconciling us unto God. The ministry, the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ flows out of the Old Testament page and into the Gospels, where we see Him perfectly accomplishing the role that God had given Him. In the Old Testament, there are three distinct but vital roles that men would occupy, and Christ would undertake each of these separate roles. And that is the office of prophet, priest, and king. That is what is called the threefold office of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we will look at Christ our prophet. Christ our prophet. He, Christ, fulfilled that Old Testament work, the Old Testament ministry. He is our prophet, priest, and our king. This week, Lord willing, prophet. Next week, priest. Following week, king. The threefold office of Christ. In the Old Testament, it was not exclusively, but normally it would have been appropriate for those who sat in one of those three offices that someone would come and anoint them to set them apart to that specific office. I give you a couple of examples. Elijah anointed Elisha as a prophet. Moses anointed Aaron and his sons as priests. Samuel anointed David as king. But in no Old Testament person does all three offices fully come together. There was no Old Testament character who fully and perfectly fulfilled the office of prophet, priest, and king. Melchizedek was a king and a priest, but he was not a prophet. Aaron was a prophet and a priest, but not a king. Solomon was a prophet and a king, but not a priest. But in Jesus Christ, all three offices are perfectly fulfilled. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is the Christ. That means He is the anointed one of God. He was set apart by God for this ministry. And part of His life, part of His work, part of our reconciliation is this threefold office of prophet, priest, and king of the Lord Jesus Christ. What none of these Old Testament saints could do, Jesus fully fulfilled, culminated totally in Him. He is the irreplaceable prophet, the irreplaceable priest, and the irreplaceable king. Amen. A prophet, mighty indeed in word. A priest, after the order of Melchizedek, and He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. I want for us today to begin to look at this threefold office of Christ by looking, first of all, as Jesus Christ, our prophet. As we turn to this text, we see that Peter and John had gone into the temple. And as they were entering into the temple, there was a man lying there at the temple who had been lame from his mother's womb. All the way from birth, he had been born lame. He could not walk. But every day, someone would pick him up, take him to the temple, and set him down by the gate, which is actually the gate called Beautiful. They would set him down there, and there he would ask for alms. He would ask for free will offerings or for money. He would ask for some beneficial giving to him to help him because he could not get out and fend for himself. So as Peter and John make their way into the temple, here is this man, and he asked Peter and John, "Can you give me some alms? Can you give me some money?" And they, and particularly Peter, so gloriously replies to him and says to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
Amen.
He didn't have any money to give him, but he had something better to give him.
Amen.
He had the gospel to give him, and that's what he gave to him. And this man, who had never walked a day in his life, who had never run as a little boy, who never skipped as a young child, who never hopped or played and never done any of these things like other kids, he stood up and walked by the power of Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Peter and John, they are heading on into the temple, and this man follows them, and he embraces them, and he hugs Peter and John, and people are looking around, and they're all surprised at this. Wouldn't you be?
Amen.
If you had seen somebody that you had known for years that had been lame since birth, and all of a sudden they're hopping and skipping and running around, you'd be surprised too.
Amen.
And so when they see this, when the people in the temple see this, they stand there with amazement on their face. And Peter looks at them, the ever energetic Peter looks at them, and he begins to preach to them. And he says to them, "I want you to know and I want you to understand that this man stands here whole. This man stands here healed, not because of what we have done, and not because of our power, not because of our might, but because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
You see in verse number 12, look at that second half. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us? Why are you looking at us like we've done something? As though by our power or holiness." Peter says it wasn't our power and it wasn't our goodness that healed this man. It wasn't anything in us. We are simply vessels through which God was working at this time.
Amen.
We didn't make this man to walk. And in verse 13 he says, and there's a reason why Peter goes all the way back to Abraham, because he wants them to know who this Jesus was.
Amen.
Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified His Son Jesus." In verse 13, right at the middle of the verse, "whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate." When Pilate said, "I'll let Him go," and people said, "No, you won't." Peter takes this opportunity, this great miracle that has been performed, and he uses that to preach to them about Jesus.
Amen.
And he says to them that Jesus, this man that you crucified, the one that you cried aloud and said, "We'll not have this man to rule over us," this very same Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, a great deal of the early ministries of the apostles were to the Jews to teach them that Jesus was that long-awaited Messiah. The woman at the well said, "We know that Messiah comes. We know that there is a coming Messiah." Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am He." I am that long-awaited Messiah. And so Peter here takes not just experience and not just what they had witnessed to teach Jesus to them, but he actually takes them into the Old Testament.
Amen.
And from the Scriptures, he shows them how that Jesus must come and suffer and die. And even though he does all that, he still is that promised Messiah.
Amen.
You denied, verse number 14, you denied the Holy One, the Just One. You desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. We're witnesses of this. In verse 16, through his name, faith in his name. That's how this man is made strong. It is faith by him that has given this man perfect soundness or has been healed in your presence.
Amen.
He takes the Old Testament. I want you to notice with me as we get into this. Peter takes the Old Testament and he uses that Old Testament to teach them that that man, Jesus of Nazareth, and this was a stumbling block to the Jews. They didn't get it. They just didn't get it. Here comes this man from the ghetto called Nazareth. That's what they consider Nazareth, the ghetto. Here comes this man who was a carpenter, the son of a nobody as far as they were concerned, from the wrong side of the tracks, and now Peter's claiming that he's the Messiah.
Amen.
And they didn't get it. That was a stumbling block to them. What do you mean he's the Messiah? So Peter, not only does he say to them, this same Jesus that you crucified, and so doing, I believe he points his apostolic finger right in their chest and says, that very Jesus that you crucified, the one that you killed, the one that you murdered, he is that long-awaited Messiah. And here's the evidence of it. Verse 18 says, but those things, these things which have happened to him, which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets. So Peter's going to take them now into the Old Testament and say to them, what happened to Jesus is just exactly what God said was going to happen to Jesus.
Amen.
He, in his writings and his giving utterance to the Old Testament prophets, they foretold what was going to happen. Notice verse 18. Those things which God before had showed, the things that God had revealed through the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled.
Amen.
So he's taking them into the prophets, just in a broad sense, and saying to them, the Old Testament prophets, those that you revere, the ones that you look up to and admire, they're the very ones that said that Jesus was going to suffer.
Amen.
These Old Testament prophets, they're the same ones as God moved through them and the Holy Spirit empowered their pen and their mouth. They're the ones that prophesied of the death of Messiah.
Amen.
Verse 19, he encourages them, repent. Because what God has said it was going to come to pass, because it has come to pass, and because you're guilty of killing the Lord of glory, verse 19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And that's really very beautiful language, that word blotted out as it is used right there. It simply means to be wiped away.
Amen.
To be obliterated. If you study it, look up in your concordance, it means that your sins may be obliterated.
Amen.
Gone. Away with. Repent and be converted, that your sins can be wiped away by God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven for all of eternity. And then he says to them again, keep going. I got to move because we got to get to verse 22. Verse 20, and shall sin, he shall sin Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom heaven, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive, until the time of restitution, the gathering in of all things, which God had spoken again by the mouth of all his holy prophets.
Amen.
Since the world began, do you not see him? He's telling these Jews, this is him. This is the Messiah. He's the anointed one.
Amen.
He is the prophet, the priest, the king that the Old Testament prophets declared would come. Again and again, he takes them to the book to show this to them. And then he says to them, verse number 22, for Moses. And this is where I really want to get to. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you.
Amen.
This Jesus, the God of the Father, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has anointed his son to be that prophet.
Amen.
This is the one that the Old Testament prophets were talking about. All the Old Testament prophets prophesied of him. But now he gets specific in verse number 22 here and says, this is that prophet that Moses said was going to come.
Amen.
And I want you, if you would, to turn back with me and read this with me because it fits so gloriously well. All the way back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 18, because this is important. You understand? When Peter is declaring who Jesus is, he cites recent events. He talks about what has just transpired in the crucifixion and the resurrection. But he wants them to see that God was not taken surprise by this. That the Old Testament prophets had foretold this. And that all of them, all the Old Testament prophets, were just pointing to the true prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in particular, Moses' own testimony was that there was a coming Messiah.
Amen.
A prophet. Look at Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. The Lord thy God, now this is Moses speaking to the people, will raise up unto thee a prophet. You see that with a capital P in our authorized version? A prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. This is what Peter's preaching to them. He's preaching to them right out of what we know of as Deuteronomy chapter number 18. That's exactly what Peter's saying. And he's saying to them that Christ is that prophet. The Old Testament prophets pointed to him. They all said he was going to come. Moses even declared that he is coming. And Peter's saying, now I want you to understand that Jesus that you killed, he is that prophet. That's him. He's the one. Keep reading. Deuteronomy 18, verse 16. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, and this goes all the way back to Mount Sinai, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see the great fire anymore, that I die not. Verse 17, the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And you go on to read there, and it's going to give the stipulations as to whether or not someone is a true prophet or a false prophet. And I'll sum it up for you. If they make a prophecy and it doesn't come true, God didn't send them. If they make a prophecy and it comes true, test it against the Word, and if it stands up against the Word, then they're my prophet. But I want you to see there, Deuteronomy 18, 15, and then again in verse 18, a prophet is coming. And dear friends, I said all that to say this, Christ is that prophet.
Amen.
Christ is our prophet. In the Old Testament, they anointed prophets. Jesus of Nazareth was appointed by God the Father as our prophet.
Amen.
What is? How was Jesus this prophet? What is a prophet? Let me sum it up for you. A prophet is a spokesman for God. He speaks to the people of God in the behalf of God. This is his mediatorial work. God's here, we're here. How are we going to get there? And the only answer is God comes to where we are.
Amen.
And he did so in the form of a prophet. He, Christ, came down from heaven to declare unto us what God demands from us, what God expects from us. And then by revealing to us that we can't live that kind of life, he then goes to Calvary and dies for us to reconcile us to the Father. He is that prophet. The word prophet in the Old Testament, the root word, I found this to be rich. The root word for the word prophet in the Old Testament literally means to bubble forth.
Amen.
To bubble forth. As a spring from a mountain would bubble forth. That's the idea. And the idea is that God would speak through his prophets and they would bubble forth or utter out the words that God gave them to say. Amen. As we find in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, they did not speak their own words, but they spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And that has never been any more true than it was with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He spake the very words of God. Listen, he is the Word of God.
Amen.
Isn't that what John 1 tells us? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And down to verse 14, the Word was made flesh. He spoke the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He is our prophet of God. A true prophet would speak in God's name and in God's behalf. If you'll stop and think just for a moment, you and I would know nothing about God were it not for the prophets that He called.
Amen.
This book, our Bible, is God's revelation of Himself through the mouth of prophets. And it all points us towards the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many Old Testament prophets were there? There's a long list of Old Testament prophets.
Amen.
Sometimes in the Old Testament they're called seers. Not all of those Old Testament prophets were good. Some of them were false prophets, just as there are false prophets yet today. And to authenticate, and believe this or not, I'm trying to move, okay? To authenticate whether or not a prophet was indeed sent by God, they would sometimes, not always, but sometimes they'd be given gifts, supernatural gifts, such as some of the Old Testament prophets were able to foretell the future. You understand that nobody can in of themselves 100% rightly and accurately foretell the future? You don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. You can guess, but that's all that it'll be. But when God, the Holy Spirit, came down and spoke through the mouth of His prophets, and they foretold future events, because it was the Word of God going through the mouth of men, you could depend on what was said.
Amen.
There are hundreds and hundreds of Old Testament prophecies, and not one of them has ever failed.
Amen.
And it had nothing to do with the man. It had something to do with the God that gave him that message.
Amen.
Just like with Peter and John here, that miracle that they did wasn't them, but God working through them. Some of them were able to foretell the future. I don't have any confidence in them today that say they have such a gift. Also, not only were some of them able to foretell the future, some of them were able to do supernatural things. And again, this is not to bring honor to the man. Too many people today, too many so-called men and women today who are thinking they can do perform these miracles, they're seeking glory for themselves. But these Old Testament prophets that were given these glorious gifts did not do so to bring glory to themselves, but to bring glory to Jehovah God.
Amen.
Some of them were doing great things. I mean, some of them did some miraculous things in the Old Testament. Not many of them, in fact, very few of them. It was not the norm, because God would not have His people depending in the miracle. He wanted them depending on Him. And just because God gifted a man to perform these miracles, that man should not receive any of the glory, no more than Peter and John in this glory, but that God should receive the glory. It was just a temporary gift to authenticate, this is my man that I have empowered for this time.
Amen.
Get it? Understand this. God's not in the business of entertaining people or wowing crowds, but in changing lives. But the primary duty of a prophet was not to perform miracles, not to foretell the future, but to proclaim God's message to his people. Amen. That was the primary duty of a prophet. To speak God's word with God's authority. God spoke to Isaiah and to Jeremiah and said to them, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth."
Amen.
These faithful Old Testament prophets who spoke the word of God did not speak for themselves, but spoke in the behalf of God. They would teach God's word. They would declare what thus saith the Lord. You know how many times that shows up in the Bible? Thus saith the Lord. And really, friends, when a man stands to preach today, if he's not going to say what thus saith the Lord, he don't have anything to say.
Amen.
That's why I'm committed to try to teach a text, because I want to tell you what God has said out of what he already has said in his word. These Old Testament prophets, the faithful ones, they did not declare the message of men, but the message of God.
Amen.
They were there to correct moral and religious abuse, to proclaim the moral and religious truths in God that God had given them. They were to be men of character, men of fidelity and truth. And each of them, and you can go down the list, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Deborah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, you could go down a long list. All of these spoke in the behalf of God.
Amen.
But when it's all said and done, all of these prophets only pointed to the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Their message was about him. Those Old Testament prophets point us to him. Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, "There's coming a prophet. He'll be like me, but he'll be better than me."
Amen.
God will bring him up from among his brethren. He'll be like me, but he'll be greater than me. Him you must hear. Jesus Christ came and, listen, bubbled forth the very word of God as our prophet. He is the faithful prophet. And I've got several texts, several scriptures. I'm just going to give them to you and move forward. As our prophet, Jesus gave us the will of God and the word of God.
Amen.
John 7, 14 through 16. He didn't come down here to declare his own word. Listen to what he himself says. He said, "I didn't come down here to declare my own words. I came down here to tell you what the Father has said."
Amen.
He spoke the very words that the Father had gave him. He spoke like no other prophet had ever spoken. In John 7 and verse 46, they didn't know what to do with it. I mean, the religious people, the elders that hated him, they didn't know what to do with it. Never a man, they said, never a man spake like this. There's never been a prophet like this prophet. He, Matthew 7, verse 29, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
Amen.
Jesus recognized himself as a prophet when he said that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. He was recognized by many of the Old Testament saints as that long-awaited prophet that Moses spoke about, but he wasn't recognized by all of them. In the New Testament, find a man named John. John the Baptist shows up on the scene. And a group of people come to John and they say to him, "Are you that prophet?" And you know what his answer is? Nope. That's just that simple. His answer is, "No, I am not that prophet, that promised Messiah, anointed prophet of God. I'm not him, but I'm sent to bear witness of him. I'm sent to prepare the way for him." In John 6, Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he feeds a multitude. And the people witness this miracle. And in John 6, 14, they say this, this is of a truth that prophet
Amen.
That should come into the world. That's John 6, 14. They saw, not all of them, but some of the Israelites saw, hey, that's the prophet Moses was talking
Amen.
About. This is the one we've been looking for all along. In John 7, Jesus stands in the temple and he proclaims, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, or hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when he got through saying that, in John 7 and verse 40, many believe on him and claim him to be that prophet.
Amen.
In Luke 7, I got a long ways, brothers and sisters. In Luke 7, there's a little lady, she come out of the city. She's a widowed lady. Her only son had died. She's called the widow of Nain. And they're carrying the dead body of her son out of the city. And Jesus comes and lays hands on that boy and raises him from the dead.
Amen.
And when the people see this, fear comes over them. But then they begin to glorify God. And in Luke 7, 16, they say that a great prophet has risen up among the people.
Amen.
And you keep going and they saying that God has visited his people. And so doing, they recognize Jesus as that prophet. There have been false prophets. There'll be more false prophets. You live in a world today where there are many false prophets. And I think as the end times come, there'll be more and more false prophets that shall arise. But when it's all said and done, Jesus is the pinnacle of all prophets. He is unique above all others. Christ is not only a prophet sent from God, he is God the perfect prophet.
Amen.
Every word he said was true. Every miracle he performed was to bring glory to God.
Amen.
He had the ability, like the Old Testament, like some of the Old Testament prophets, he had the ability to perform miracles, but he didn't do it for self-aggrandizing. He didn't do it to glorify his own self. In fact, the Bible says he made of himself no reputation. What he did was to bring glory to the Father. He had the ability to perform miracles. He had the ability to foretell the future. Oh. Did he not say, you tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up again?
Amen.
Now, that was a prophecy concerning his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
When he was in the upper room that night, he looked at Judas and he said, you go do what you got to do. That's my version of it. What thou doest, do quickly. And as they were in the garden that night, Jesus looked to his 11 and he said, he is at hand that doth betray me. And immediately there came Judas.
Amen.
You could go on and on and on. He foretold them. You know what the book of Revelation is? It's a book of prophecy.
Amen.
Given by revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That book, in its greatest sense, is the untold, unfulfilled history of mankind. Unfulfilled history of mankind. We haven't lived it yet, but it's coming. I don't think we lived all of it yet anyway, but it's coming. This is the words of the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he would speak to us. And listen, if you're waiting for a better prophet to come along, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
Because there is no greater prophet than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the pinnacle of all prophets.
Amen.
If you're waiting for someone to come along with a better message, you're going to be in trouble. You're waiting for somebody to come along that can more rightly foretell future events, you're going to be in trouble. You're waiting for somebody to come around and do greater miracles than him, you're going to be in trouble. And if you're waiting for somebody to come around with more reliable prophecy than him, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
He is the prophet of prophets.
Amen.
He is the miracle working, prophecy giving, truth bearing prophet of God. And according to Hebrews chapter 1, and I hate that clock. According to Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets.
Amen.
Let me sum this up for you. Back in the old days, God spoke to his people through different people in different ways. But he hath in this day, in these last days, spoken to us by his Son.
Amen.
We don't need another prophet. We've got him.
Amen.
Don't go looking for another one. We've got him. There are many people in this world right now who are trusting in a prophet that is no more than a false prophet. Many religions are trusting in a false prophet. We have God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our prophet.
Amen.
He is the only mediator. That's why it matters. When 1 Timothy 2 says that he is the only mediator between God and man. There is no other. Our prophet is the only one that can rightly speak to God for us and speak from God to us.
Amen.
He's it. And everyone that did anything else only did so because they enabled him to do so. Or he enabled them to do so. But now listen. Look at verse 22 and 23. Back in our text. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet. Yeah, that's Jesus. And he is telling them that's who it is. Jesus is that prophet that Moses talked about. The Lord God, Lord your God, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. But I want you to notice verse 23. And I'll close with this. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. I don't know how much clearer God could say it than what he said it right here. Peter stands to that audience and he says to them, you killed God's Son.
Amen.
You murdered the Prince of Life. You crucified him. The Old Testament prophet said he was coming. Moses said he was coming. He is that prophet. He is our prophet. And you killed him. And if you do not bow the knee to him, he'll destroy you.
Amen.
I don't know how much plainer it can be. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, that man who came from the wrong side of the tracks, if you don't hear him, believe his miracles, trust his word, have absolute and total confidence in his life and ministry. If you'll not hear him, God will destroy you from among the
Amen.
People. You want to talk about obliterated? Why would you turn to any other prophet when we have the prophet?
Amen.
Christ, our prophet. Heed God's warning. If you're here and you're not saved, I tell you, believe the prophet. I'm not talking about somebody over there on the Middle East somewhere. Don't get me going. I'm talking about bow the knee to King Jesus.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not saved, you believe this prophet. He is the only prophet that can save. You see, it wouldn't have done any good for Moses to give his life for the people. Or Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or Hosea, or Malachi. Go right on down. It wouldn't have done any good. But this prophet gave his life for his people.
Amen.
And through faith in him, he'll save your soul. Your eternal destiny, you hear me? Your eternal destiny hinges on you hearing the words of that prophet.
Amen.
Will you hear him today?
Amen.
Will you obey him today? If you will not, can you imagine what God will do to those that will not hear his Son? He thundered out of heaven on two different occasions and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Hear ye him. And God says to you today, hear my Son, listen to my prophet. and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Jerry, come. Sister Bobby, come. I implore you as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't foretell the future. The only thing I can tell you is this. If you'll flee to Christ, you'll never be sorry.
Amen.
You trust in Him, it'll be well with you all the days of your life and throughout all of eternity. But if you refuse to bow the knee to God's prophet, He will in righteous anger cast you into hell. God bless you. Let's sing a song.